The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is the Rental Income Podcast, where we talk to owners of rental properties and give you actionable tips and advice that will help you make more money while dealing with less hassle. And now your host, Dan Lane.
I put together a list of 7 things I wish I knew earlier about renting properties, and you can download your free copy. Just go to my website, freelandlordgift.com. So I thought on the show today we would maybe do a little bit of a different format. Instead of me asking the questions, I thought I would let the listeners ask the question. So we have a landlord that's been really, really successful. Steve Elliff is joining us on the phone. Steve owns 11 rental properties, and he's been doing this for a long time, and he has agreed to answer whatever it is we want to ask him. So Steve, why don't we get right into it? Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started?
Sure. I'm 52 years old. This is my 25th year in investing in real estate. I specialize mostly in Salt Lake City residential properties. And I've probably purchased and sold on my own somewhere between 60 and 80 properties in the last 25 years.
Great. Okay. So we've got a bunch of questions here from listeners. So why don't we just get right through it. The first one is from Rich, and he is new to investing, and he's struggling to find a mentor, and he wants to know if you have any advice on where he should look or what he should be looking for in a mentor.
Boy, that's it's an interesting question. I think having a mentor is really important, but I think educating yourself is more important. I had a boss once years ago who shared with me a statement that went something like, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And he made us think about that for a long time. And if you spend some time thinking about that, when you're really ready to find that mentor, the mentor will appear for you. And by being ready, it means that you've spent enough time reading about it, talking to realtors, talking to other investors. You'll find your mentor.
Okay, and then he's got a follow-up question. What are some creative ways to finance with less than $10,000? Is it possible? Can you own a rental property with less than $10,000?
Sure. I think it's going to require, well, there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, but some of the ways I've seen it happen in the past where you'll have owner financing, for example, not necessarily for less than $10,000. I suppose it depends on the type of real estate, but owner financing is one way, and having a money partner is how a lot of people go about it. There's a lot of wealthy guys out there that have money to invest that expect a good return on their money, but they don't have the time or the interest to be the actual real estate investor manager. And we were blessed with having that in the beginning of my investing career, where I had several wealthy individuals that were willing to bankroll us. After we had proven that we knew what we were doing, and by giving them a big piece of the pie and making them very happy, that was a really, truly a win-win formula for us.
All right. The next question comes from Sherry. She says, my fiance and I just started renting out our property in June, and we've had issues with our tenants not communicating with us when they're going to be late paying rent or threatening to break the lease. So how do you think she should handle this?
You know, it's an interesting question. If you can break that down component by component, not communicating with us when they're going to be late raises a big red flag for me on the landlord's side. Kind of comes under shame on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our lease, for example, gives you 30 days to pay, as long as that 30 days is prior to the first of the month or on the first of the month. If I don't have your rent on the first of the month, the second of the month, you get a 3-day notice from me. The third day, you're gone. And so one of the things that's so important in the business, and that question talks about communication. If you've not communicated verbally and through your lease to that tenant that the most important thing in their life is paying the rent on time, then you failed as an investor and as a landlord. And if they threaten to break the lease, it shouldn't be the tenant threatening to break the lease. It should be, when it comes to paying rent, the landlord threatening to evict the tenant.
Right.
So it's, to me, it sounds like a situation where the landlord is letting the tenant control the relationship, and it's the wrong way around.
Yeah, and I guess you got to be firm right from the beginning, right? You got to set that expectations right when you're signing the lease.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. And I do that with all of our clientele. I set the expectation that you pay your rent on time every time, and if you need anything from me, I'm there every time.
So, all right, so it sounds like she didn't set that expectation up front. So is there any way that you think she can rescue this now, where this tenant is basically doing whatever they want?
Well, not having seen the lease and not knowing the personality of the people's situation, I don't know that I could specifically tell them. But every tenant is a learning situation, and no tenant lasts forever. So as long as that relationship is there, you try to make it work. And once it's over, learn the lessons that you learned for the next one.
All right. The next question is from Ben. He wants to know, what are the steps you've taken for an eviction, and what have you learned in the process? So I assume you've done an eviction after all these years.
Believe it or not, I've only had to physically do an eviction where it came down to the sheriff showing up to escort the person out once in 25 years. And it was in the second year of the business.
Wow.
So it's actually quite rare that you have to do an eviction that involves physically taking the person from the property. I think it's important to distinguish the difference between a physical eviction and an eviction that happens by virtue of you serving an eviction notice and the person is gone before it ever goes to court. That's how it goes 99% of the time.
All right. The next question is from Gabriel. He wants to know how hard is it to find a loan?
Well, I don't think it's hard to find a loan if you're qualified for the loan. Not sure what type of a loan he's speaking of. Remember, there's a couple of different kinds of loans. There's commercial loans for properties that are a fiveplex and above, for example. And there's single family home loans, which is applicable to not only a single family home, but a duplex, a triplex, or a fourplex, where you can buy it as an owner occupant. And it's not considered commercial financing. Those are the ones that are the real bread and butter that I recommend everybody start out with, is anywhere between 1 and 4 units.
Okay.
And those are able to be financed traditionally, 10% down, 15% down, what have you, versus a commercial loan, which is oftentimes 30% or more down payment.
All right. The next question is from Roxanne. She's got a similar question to a previous question. She has $15,000 to invest, and she wants to know what you recommend. Does she have enough money to invest in real estate?
Yeah, she has enough money to invest in something small, depending on what market she's in. You're looking at a house, you're probably looking at a $100,000 type of property that you could invest in.
The next question is from John. He's struggling to find a good deal and build a team. Do you have any advice?
I think that if somebody recognizes that they're struggling to find a good deal, I'd rather see them continue to struggle to find a good deal than to buy the wrong deal. Mm. So tell them congratulations for having patience. Hang in there. The right one will come to you.
All right. The next one is from Scott, and I'm really proud of Scott. He has paid off his house and he rents it out. He moved to a new house and he would like to buy more properties, but he doesn't think it makes physical sense to go into debt. What do you think? Is it worth it going into debt?
If you don't go into debt, you'll never build wealth, plain and simple.
Right.
Remember, there's two kinds of debt, good debt and bad debt. Bad debt is things that are depreciating liabilities, like cars. Good debt is appreciating assets, like homes and rental properties. So know the difference between good debt and bad debt. You want to acquire all of the good debt that you can possibly acquire.
Right. All right. The next question is from Mike, and he's got a couple of questions. The first one: how do people manage a property from a distance and find tenants? And I understand you've got some properties that are out of town, right? So how do you find tenants?
Well, there have been times when we've not been living in Salt Lake, but we continued to own our properties here. And the most efficient way for us was to have a resident manager. And every formula is done differently. In our particular case, our resident manager's compensation had to do with having an apartment that was paid for by us in one of our buildings. And he had additional responsibilities besides renting out the apartments. He was responsible for light maintenance and communicating to us in the form of a report once a month, doing the advertising, a few other things. But basically, I think having a property manager who works exclusively for you on site is really the only way that you can do it, unless you want to hire an outside management company. An outside management company is normally going to cost you anywhere from 5 to 10% of your gross rent. So it becomes sort of expensive to do it that way. But those are two examples of how you could go about doing it.
You know, another resource that I would recommend is if you go back and listen to episode 5 of the Rental Income Podcast, we talked to Tim Hennessy. And he lives in Illinois and he manages properties in Florida. And the way that he does it is pretty crazy. So go back and listen to that show, Mike, and hopefully that'll help you too. All right. The next question he has is some of your guests have seemed pretty locked in on a particular state's laws. How did they learn this information?
It's all out there on the internet. And I think maybe one thing to look at for a lot of folks is what are the better states to own real estate in from a landlord perspective. And certainly there are some states that are fantastic from a landlord perspective, and there are some states that are a nightmare from a landlord perspective. The research is all out there. I'll give you a quick example. I would never buy a property in California, period, ever.
Really? Okay. Why is this?
It's the worst state, one of the worst states in the country for getting somebody evicted for a non-pay. It takes forever. Yeah. Utah is one of the most landlord-friendly states, by contrast, and it's one of the reasons we invested here.
Okay, so how long does it take to do an eviction in Utah?
Well, legally, it really depends on how hard the tenant wants to fight it. If you have to go through the court system, it could be 4 to 6 weeks if you do it efficiently and quickly.
Right.
My experience has been that it takes a week or two. As soon as somebody is served with notice, they usually evict themselves.
Wow, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Well, remember, Dan, once tenants have been served an eviction notice, 99% of the time, they know that they're in the wrong and the landlord is in the right. Not always.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say 99% of the time.
Yeah.
And they threaten to put up a fight and threaten to take you to court and all that. The reality of it is never goes to court. They disappear before the court date ever even happens.
All right. Question number 3. Do people create their own leases or do they run them by an attorney first? If an eviction seems imminent, do they hire a law firm?
I begged, borrowed, and stole from a lot of different sources, everything from things I had read, real estate investing materials, to leases that were already being used by other landlords or management companies here in Utah. Oftentimes, you'll have a state that has an apartment association and it's very inexpensive to belong to, but you belong to the apartment association. They have a ton of documents that they'll give you for free if you're a member. Okay. Lease is one of them.
Okay. And then his fourth and final question, do you have a checklist of things that you need in order to buy a property? So, for example, the roof is less than 10 years old, minimum 3-bed, 1-bath, or any financial ratio?
That might be more technical. Well, financial ratios is a whole different discussion, but when you're looking at properties, I think what you really need to understand is how much money do you have to work with? Buying a fixer-upper that has a great upside doesn't do you any good if you don't have any money to fix it up.
Sure.
And so, when you're assessing a deal, I think you really have to understand, you know, the deal is going to cost X. I have X to spend. And if this thing, needs a ton of work and I'm a new investor, it may not be the right deal for you.
All right. And then our last question is, I hope I'm pronouncing this name right. It's Carol, K-E-R-E-L. I hope I'm saying that right. I apologize, Carol, if I'm saying your name wrong. But I live in a duplex and I own another. I'd like to own more rental property, but I don't know how to get financing. I'd like to know how other people get over this hurdle.
Well, I'm not sure how she came about buying the ones that she has, if that's the case. But going about getting financing, I think, starts with working with a good realtor. And a good realtor can often not only find you a great property, but also can recommend a variety of different lenders to you that can walk you through what you can really qualify for and what makes sense for you.
I also have a training class that might be of interest to you. It's called How to Finance a Rental Even with No Money. I opened this up to my email list the other day and we sold out in 24 hours. So I'm not taking any new students right now, but if you want to get on the wait list for the next time I open it up, you can go to rentalcourse.com, put in your email, and I'll shoot you an email when we open the class up. All right. Well, that wraps it up. If you have any questions that you would like to ask, I'd like to do a Q&A type show every once in a while. So if you have a question you want to ask, you can shoot me an email. My email address is dan@rentalincomepodcast.com. Send me an email. Let me know your question and I will add it to the list and we'll do it the next time we do a Q&A show. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Dan Lane and this is the Rental Income Podcast.
This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.